questions?
Ma'am, you can go now. Find your place in James. And let's see. While you're looking for that, also find the place in James where it talks about the wisdom that comes down from above. I think it's about chapter 3 or whatever. Talking about this morning, I've been talking about a lot because it has a lot to do with what's going on right now and everybody and everything. We're talking about the will of God and doing the will of God and drawing close to God. And in these days, there's a lot of people preaching a lot of things, but I think the thing to preach in order for everyone to be really secure in what's going on and all the comfort that people get is in preaching more and more of the gospel, which is what I'm determined to do. I like James because when he talks about this, I like his reference to every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from above, and or at the same time, we just say that everything comes down from above and comes down from God, good and perfect. We need the assurance. As I was talking about Friday night, I think it was, we need the assurance that God is going to see us through. We need the assurance that God is going to see us through. I read something last night that really stuck out to me. And I'll tell you what I read. I read someone wrote an article yesterday, and it's about the present time. And they said that the thing that the Democrats and liberal voters don't get about the Republican, about the evangelicals, is that they think the evangelicals are doing what they do out of fear. And the article said, actually, they're doing what they're doing out of joy, because they have come together and banded together and found a belonging. And they draw strength from one another because they feel like they have singleness of purpose, and they're fighting a battle for joy. And you know what? I would have liked to disagree with them, but you know what the truth is? I agree. Mm-hmm. They are single-minded of purpose, and they've made up in their minds that they're fighting this battle for God. No matter what Trump does, anybody else, while people are thinking that, can't they see what Trump's doing? They're not looking at Trump. They're looking at what they're protecting, what they consider to be their birthright. Mm-hmm. And they expect God to do that. So the article went on to talk about how deeply embedded racism is in evangelical white Christians. And it talked about in a way to say that it's embedded in their DNA. Mm-hmm. They're taught that from birth without even saying it, that they have somehow this right that's given to them by God. And it's God they're expecting to protect this right, because they preach a very light-colored God. And none of that could I disagree with. And I didn't say they're right. I said I didn't disagree with what their point is. The point is that I'm making to you is when are we going to have singleness of purpose in God and start to trust God and believe in God and expect God to move so that we have joy in God and can rally together in God and come together in God. And he talked about how fractured, even though the cause of the liberals and Democrats are concerning the rights of people and everything, how that's a just cause, but how fractured they are. You can't get them together in one place. You can't get them to have one voice. You can't get them. And there's another thing that they do that you can't get the liberals to do. They all, for whatever reason, claim the same God.
Yeah.
The liberals, on the other hand, and the Democrats, on the other hand, it's got every God in the world. Some of you don't have God at all.
Yeah.
You know, just a plethora of beliefs, even among the religious people and black people, among all people, since I seem to be going this way for the moment, but it's not going to be my Christian education. Black people have always been splintered as far as religion goes. You have the Pentecostal black people who just basically claim that nobody else other than them is saved. And if you don't do what they do, you're of the world and you're this and that, and they've embraced no one. Pentecostalism has, for the largest degree, been even though we were on the side of God, for a large degree, has sent a lot of people away from God because of the things that we do in the way that we are. We need to have a trust in God, our trust in God. And so when I was thinking about this, I thought about the Jewish people who came out of Egypt. And even and we're very much like Egypt, because the Jewish, we're very much like that time. Even though the children of Israel had the true God and they believed in God, Moab would overwhelm them, because even though Moab didn't have the true God, everybody in Moab was serving the God they had.
Yes.
They didn't have, even though Moab's people weren't saved and didn't belong to Jehovah God, they weren't like Israel, which had the true God, but yet Israel wanted to serve this God, that God, every other God. Moab didn't have God's miracles like Israel, but yet Israel wanted to be this and Israel wanted to be that. And they couldn't bring themselves together for anything. And God would do great works in the midst of them, and brought them out of Egypt and delivered them. Yet when they got in the wilderness, they still wanted to say, well, I'm not sure, want to go this way, that way, or the other. While all these nations that they were coming against, they had singleness of purpose, like at the Tower of Babel. They weren't serving the true God, but God said about the Tower of Babel, He says, these people aren't right, but if I don't separate them some kind of way, there won't be anything they can't do. Mm-hmm. And this is what we're up against now.
Yes.
We're up against the people that they might be wrong, call them whatever you want to be, but they all have the same mind.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do that's changing their mind about how they're going to vote and what they're going to do. We need to be that way about God too. We should turn to a point where we make ourselves, we should get to a point where we all have singleness of purpose. We have a difficult enough time just getting everybody to, it's amazing to me how you can have so much division in a small church. In a large church where you have lots and lots and thousands and millions of people, I can understand how you have divisions and everything, but it's amazing to me how you have so much division in a small church.
Yeah.
So that people in a small church can't get along. There's only four people, and there are four people in four different directions. There are 10 people in five different directions, and so forth and so on. It's something that we as a people of God have never figured out. And this is why, one of the reasons why I'm saying that one of the things we need to draw, if we cannot agree on anything else, let's turn ourselves towards the will of God and agree on that. That we will do the will of God. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
I'm going to use an example this morning, and I don't know if my morning worship folk are going to be here or not. They said they were. They're not usually here for Christian education. I wish I could get them to do that. But they probably will be here about 11:30 for morning worship. So, but in the interim, I'm glad they come at all, and I'm glad to have them. Let's look at something today that's different. I said in James, because I was getting myself together. I want to look in Joshua. think it's Joshua. And let's look at something that Joshua chapter 6 talking about Jericho. Joshua 6 talking about Jericho. In verse 1. Joshua chapter 6 talking about Jericho. Verse 1. Can everybody hear me? If you can hear me, wave in. Do you hear me, Elder Roger? Can you hear me okay? Good sound, understandable. All right. Joshua. Now, Jericho was strictly shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. In other words, they had the city locked down. They had walled themselves in. They had what they needed. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, you're going to take this city regardless. And he went on and to tell him how he was going to do it. You shall go past the city, you and all the men of war go around the city once. And thou shalt do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear before thee the ark, seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day you shall come past the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make the long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with great shouts. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark. And then he goes on and gives them what they're supposed to do. I want to see down here. Go back to chapter number. I want us to go back to chapter number 2. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy, saying, go view the land of Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And I want to go to verse 8. And before they were laid down, she came upon them, came unto them upon the roof when they were letting them go. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard of these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, I swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brother and my sister and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Now, in James, which I had to turn to originally, it's the scripture in James that says that we have warring among us. You war and have not. And we read that a few times. It's about James number chapter. Hold the place of Joshua. You had James already. James chapter 4, maybe. Whence cometh wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? In other words, he says, why do you fight among yourself? Because you have different desires and different ambitions and different, he's talking to Israel, and he says you have different, you know, purposes and different motives and different objectives. And when he says lust that war in your members, he's not just referring to sexual lust, he's referring to things we want. Ways we want to go, how we want to see things done, you know, what things are important to us, what things have priority to us. They're different in us. Like for me, Christian education for me is a priority. Being here on time is a priority. In church life, it never ceases to amaze me how few church people view being in church on time, although they go to work ahead of time, in advance, do all kinds of things. But when it comes to God, show up at the last minute, a few minutes late, it's okay. It's because we have different priorities.
Yes.
We see things differently. God doesn't have the same preeminence in some people's lives as he has in others. We say he does, but he doesn't really. And among Israel, they were always wanting their way. And they wanted, and every one of them wanted God to be on their side. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and you war. Yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your own lust. He says, one of the reasons why you don't get what you need in God is because you're not asking God for the things that are in the will of God. And then the other reason, he says, a lot of things you don't even ask God. And then, and why don't we ask God about things like that? And the other one, he says, and then when you do ask God, the reason why God doesn't answer is because, remember, if we pray anything according to his will, he heareth us. He says, the reason why you're asking is because you want God to do your bidding, not God's bidding. You want him to do what you want him to do, whether it is the will of God or not. It isn't a matter of thy will be done, as Jesus says in the garden. He says, Father, it'd be kind of nice if I didn't have to get beat all night. But either way, I've got to do the will of God, and there'll be glory in the will of God. It's the joy that's set before him. Like I said when I started, believe it or not, and I'm not taking this out on this because I feel like, God never supports a liar. But those people on the other side of the aisle, as we say, and to them, they are fighting a religious war. Yes. And never mind that it never occurs to them that with them is all their anger and all their hatred and all their malice, and they've assigned to them, they have allowed, they've done what Paul wouldn't do. Paul would not allow himself to be supported by this woman who had a spirit of divination, even though she was proclaiming that Paul was of the true and living God. And what the evangelicals have allowed themselves to do, they've allowed these people with all these evil spirits and various things to attach themselves to them. And the reason why they've allowed them to attach themselves to them is because they have desires and objectives that are not God. They do have heaven in mind. I believe they're born again. I believe they have heaven in mind. I think they want to go to heaven. But they also want God to maintain their status quo in the earth.
Yeah.
And this is something that's contrary to the will of God. James says to these people, the reason why they have all these fightings, he's talking to Jews among themselves. He says, because each of you wants God to do things your way.
Yeah.
We can be like that. We're like that a lot. We want God to do things our way. We want God not only to answer our prayers, but we want him to answer our prayers like we want them answered. We want him to take our side. A football team will go on the field and pray to win. What they probably should pray for at least is that they all walk off the field in one piece. But I don't think God's going to step in and you're going to win one way or the other. That's not something that's important to God. He allows it, gives us some joy sometimes, and there have always been sporting events because Paul refers to them about running races and running matches. They've always had them. But I don't think God really chimes in when it comes to whether or not your football team will win or lose.
Yeah.
That's strictly an earthly affair. And when you get so wrapped up in it that you stay home and watch a football game instead of coming to the house of God, or doing what you're supposed to do in God, then you find out that it has a priority over God. God does not shut down for Super Bowl Sunday. So they had all these things going on. I'm trying not to ramble. I really do have a point here. So when you see Jericho, and you have two sides, you have Israel on the outside, and you have the people of Jericho, the Canaanites, whatever they were, shut up on the inside. And they fear Israel's God because Israel's God has already defeated Sihon and Og, king of Bashan. And they know of his great power, although they're not ready to change their life. They just leave us alone, going around us. And in their minds, they have this great wall that will protect them, and so they don't need to change the way that they are. Now, you can make up your mind. You can either decide that the side you're on is Israel on the outside, and you're tearing down the wall to get it at Jericho. Remember now, Jericho's not attacking them. It's just that God has given them this land, and Jericho's a nation. It isn't that Jericho isn't attacking Israel. It's that Jericho won't serve God.
Yeah.
And remember now that Jericho doesn't stand in the way of Israel. They stand in the way of Israel's God. And Israel has to understand something. Or either you can decide you're Israel, or you can decide you're, you know, whichever, and your opponents are inside Jericho or vice versa, because everybody is saying they're on the side of God and they need the wall to come down. But there's something that needs to happen here. You got to remember that God has singleness of purpose that Israel does not remember. God has singleness of purpose that Israel does not remember nor consider. God's purpose, since the Garden of Eden, and Ellery asked me about this the other night, when did they know that God was going to send his son? God's purpose since the Garden of Eden was the deliverance of man, was the salvation of man, was the saving of man, was the defeat of sin. God's purpose, since before the garden, actually, because the decision that his son would have to come and die and be resurrected was a plan that was established before the foundation of the earth. It didn't plan that Adam would sin, but since God knew the end of all things, he made a way so that if Adam did sin, man could still be recovered. As opposed to, and I've said this before, and I'm not sure whether it's totally accurate or not, because I really don't know. I said God never really made a plan for the angels to be saved or for them to be redeemed. Yeah. I don't know whether he did or not. It could be that it could have been at some point in time where he did make a plan for them to be redeemed. They just rejected it.
Yeah.
Because he made a plan for all men to be redeemed, and many of them rejected. So, although I think probably not, Satan having the power, Lucifer having the power he had and everything else, but still, God plans at whatever time he decides to create a being after his own image. And it remains, even all the ways that we're different from angels still remains to be seen. And that we would serve him of our own free will. God makes this plan long before the foundation or before the establishment of the earth system of Genesis 1 and 2. Before Genesis 1 and 2, when he comes mm-hmm. and decides it's time to recreate and to make the earth and to redo the earth. And so even in the garden, when God talks to Adam and says what Adam does, Adam can live in the garden for a very long time. And even if Adam doesn't sin, the plan of salvation is still in place, whether it's needed or not. It is still there. It's not something that God rushes around and establishes after Adam falls, because it says that it is there before the foundation of the earth. So it's always there. It's like my fire extinguisher. As long as my house doesn't catch on fire, I don't need it, but it's always there. So God has this plan. And then in the garden, when man does fall, then he does say that the seed of the woman, not the man, seed of the woman, shall bruise the head of the serpent. And he puts this in place. Now, from this time on, God has to make sure that his son comes in Adam's pure bloodline without any interference from sources, from the angels, or from outside sources in that bloodline. And it has to be the bloodline that chooses to follow God, and in this case it will be Seth as opposed to Cain. Because although Cain has an opportunity to be restored, he decides not to be. And it goes on through Abraham, and then in Abraham's time, God chooses Abraham because Abraham chooses God, and whether he makes the offer to anyone else or not, or whether or not he sees that in the earth at that time, that Abraham, out of all the people that are in the earth, and this is something else that I come to understand about God too, and I understand it with Mary and Joseph. God, since he knows the mind and hearts of everyone, I've said before, maybe God made the offer to others, but God didn't have to offer to anyone else, because since he knows the hearts and minds of others, he knows who the most likely candidate is. He knows the perfect. He knows the person who would be perfect for the job. Now, what job is it God has for you? Are you perfect for the job? I can say that about myself. Am I perfect for the job? And my answer probably is probably no. Good for the job, maybe. Perfect for the job, no. But God can see out of all the people in the earth, Abraham is the most perfect person for the job. Just like when he chooses Mary to be the virgin that shall bear his son, she is obviously and without any doubt in my mind, Mary and Joseph are the holiest people at that time who are eligible to bear God's son and be Jesus' father. There are no other young men who are more righteous and can fit that bill better than Joseph. Because if there had been, God would have chosen them. Yeah. And there are no young women who would fit the bill of being God's mother other than Mary. Because if there had been, God would have chosen her. Why would God choose someone to bear his son, knowing that there's someone else who could do the job better? So then it's the same thing with Abraham. God comes to Abraham. And even though it seems as if Abraham takes some time before separates himself from his father or makes up his mind completely to follow God, God is already aware of this, and he knows that even still, while it might seem to others that Abraham's taking his time, God is aware of this, and he still says there's nobody more capable of teaching their children about me than Abraham.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's no one in the earth who I'd rather be, who would fit the bill of being the father of this nation more than Abraham.
Yeah.
And God also knows, what if Abraham does come to God those 25 years earlier or sooner when he first says it? He's still not going to have Isaac before he's 100 years old, because it has to be this miracle that Abraham has, because Isaac represents God's son, and Isaac's being offered as a sacrifice represents God's son being offered, and all these things strengthen Abraham's faith. Isaac being born strengthens his faith. Isaac being offers a sacrifice and yet saves strength. It increases Abraham. So that Abraham's mind is made up to do the will of God, because he recognizes God's purpose in Isaac. He recognizes that through Isaac, the Son of God is going to be born in the salvation of man, and through him all nations are going to be blessed. Abraham has this, as we say in today's time, he gets this.
Yeah.
And so does Isaac. Isaac understands this. And even in his failings, when he seems to be ready to, it's not that Isaac gives up on God. He understands the way the lineage goes that the oldest son inherits. So when he's going to give Esau the blessing anyway, then Rebekah steps in. And Rebekah, which is just as much of the plan of God as Sarah is the plan of God, they both have their roles. Sarah being the father of Isaac, and Rebekah stepping in and making sure that Jacob is the one who gets the promise. Never mind how she goes about it, she makes sure that Jacob is the one who gets the birthright, because Jacob is the person who's concerned about doing the will of God. He's got some things about him,
yeah,
like we all do. He's got some things about him. You know, he doesn't mind being a little manipulative or being a little whatever. So does Rebekah, for that matter. But they understand the will of God, and in the back of their minds, is doing the will of God. They have a singleness of purpose, and that is doing the will of God. And Rebecca can see that Esau has no interest in doing the will of God. And later in life, even as the tribe of Esau, which is Edom, can see that Israel, which is their brother or sister tribe, whichever you want to call it, they can see how God has blessed them. And yet Edom will never turn to God. They just don't have the mind to turn to God. So that eventually God destroys Edom. Or at least pushes them away, does whatever he does with them. They're no longer mentioned. But then, so you always have this one purpose all the way through everything of doing the will of God, and that being the salvation of man. His son coming to save man, because God has a purpose for man.
Yes.
He has a purpose for man. And that is that he would have a free moral agent that would serve him of their own free will. Having all the attributes of God, being glorified like God, having a mind, a spirit, soul, and body, having all the attributes of mind and a spirit and a body. And not only so, but also we would reign with him and rule with him. Because God's house, in my Father's house, is not limited to this one planet Earth, but God's house, what belongs to God and what is in the realm of God is the universe.
Yes.
Which the angels were helping him rule before they fell and so forth and so on. And man will pick that up because we're above the sun and the moon and the stars. We have been given that heritage. Why would we be given that if we didn't need it?
Yeah.
So then, if we suffer with him, we'll also reign with him. We should be a priest of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years in the earth, and shall reign with him through eternity as it turns out. There have always been in God's time people who understood and who had singleness of purpose, and that being the will of God. That being the will of God, no matter what. So then, today you can see yourself being the will of God, doing the will of God, if you're on one side and the wall that you see in front of you is what needs to be torn down so that the will of God will be done.
Yes.
Israel, when they're in the wilderness, it is very important that Israel be preserved, because through their lineage the Messiah is going to come. The salvation of man is going to come. So God moves on Israel's behalf, not because Israel's great, because every opportunity Israel has had to do wrong, they have done.
Yeah.
It is this lineage of Christ coming through their lineage, and there are enough of them, Aaron's sons in the priesthood, and the Levites who remind them of God, and the prophets, and angels show up from time to time, and God himself shows up to Joshua himself to encourage them and keep them, and it keeps all this, it takes all this to keep them going. Because it's easy for us to believe that Jesus Christ would come and die and be resurrected, because it's easy to believe in what has already happened.
Yes.
It's a bit more difficult to believe what will come. Of course, you would say, well, seeing all the miracles and all the things that happened during those courses, I no doubt many of them probably explain those things away as readily as people explain things away today. Well, that would have happened anyway. This is going to happen anyway. That's going to go that way anyway. So how can anybody explain away the Red Sea? Well, that would be a difficult one, but somehow or another they seem to not remember it.
Yeah.
And coming out of Egypt as the generations grow, and this is why it's so important that people pass on God from child to child. God knows that if Israel doesn't keep telling their sons and their sons' sons and so forth and so on about Egypt, they will soon forget it. And they do. So you can say today that if you're in Christ, these walls of racism and these walls of this need to come down, and you can see the other side as being these people behind the walls, and they're determined that they're not going to change their way of life no matter what. No matter what happens, and you're asking God, pull down these walls and tear down these walls of civil injustice and so forth and so on, and you're asking God to move and do something about these people in the way they are. They, on the other hand, are out here asking God, tear down this wall with all these people, with all these homosexuals and all these LGBT whatever folk and all these multiple gods that they have. They won't serve the true God, and tear down this wall and pull down their wall, and they don't deserve to continue like they are. They need to stop this, and we're fighting that battle for God because we're fighting against them being these Canaanites and against all these things to do. This is how they see it. Yeah. Never mind that they are, that on both sides, we're like Israel. We both want God to move on our behalf, but neither one of us are, but who among us has made up our minds that the will of the Lord be done? God pulls down the walls of Jericho, not because of it, Israel is his people and he favors Israel, but ultimately it is God's will that God has in mind. It is the salvation of all mankind that God has in mind. So that anybody even inside those walls who will take up God's banner, God will receive, as in Rahab. The bottom line being is, in all of this, it isn't just that he wants Israel to be this conquering nation, conquer everybody just for the sake of conquering. It's so Israel can be planted and rooted and serve him and do his will, so that he can bring forth his son in due time for the salvation of man. He has a hard time with Israel getting them to settle down. And this is where James talks about them not having still, because they still haven't figured out why they want God to move. They still want God to move so they can have what they want.
Yeah.
And have it the way they want it.
Yeah.
And have it the way they want it. So then it beckons us. Is that a good word, Chandra?
Yeah.
Are we being beckoned?
Yeah.
Called? What we need to ask God to do is the will of the Lord be done.
Yeah.
We should stand with God like Rahab if we see ourselves in her position. Like the children of Israel on the outside of the wall, if we see ourselves in their position. Either way, the folk who are shut up in Jordan, the Canaanites, are the ones that God is going to push out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, those are the ones that God's going to push out of the way so that the will of God will be done. Now, this is the point. You have to make sure you're in the will of God. For the cause of God's will, for the sake of God's will, even in Sodom and Gomorrah. If 10 people will declare they know the true and living God, mm-hmm. for the cause of 10 people, mm-hmm. never mind all the people around them who are doing things that God utterly hates, never mind all the abominations of the other gods, the uncleanness and all that's going on. For the cause of 10 people, God will spare both cities. And it's not just 10 people in each city, it's 10 people in...
No. Yeah.
He'll spare both cities. If we will lift up our voices and serve and do the will of God and proclaim God, And in this proclamation of God, do the will of God, and God is looking at the heart, not just what we're saying, God will move on our behalf. And if God can, if there are not enough people for God to spare the city, then God will do what he did for Lot, and he'll take you out of the city. Either way, God will save and keep the people that belong to God. God will support the people that belong to God. God will see them through. So when we look at Israel coming up against Jericho, both sides are proclaiming to be Israel. Both sides are claiming the other side is Jericho. One stands back, says that's Jericho. These people have walled themselves in, and they have their way about them, and they're evil, and they're not going to change no matter what. And we're standing, and we're watching the wall, and we're praying for God the wall to stand, the fallen. These people are marching forward in the name of God, and they're just going to see everything tore up. The difference is, when it comes to it, and we're looking at the will of God from where I stand, the difference is that you could be off in what you think is God.
Yeah.
And the other point that stands out to me from time to time is there are some things that God is going to do that I don't care what you want, you're not going to change.
Yeah.
And when you see Jesus in the garden, praying in the garden, Jesus doesn't want to have his beard plucked out, and he doesn't want to be beat, and he doesn't want, and it's going to hurt when the nails go in his hands. But he's willing to do that in order to go to the cross. And he's saying to God, just get me through it, because I know when I go to the cross, it's going to end, and then I'll be resurrected.
Yeah.
This is the thing about doing the will of God. Many people, you're standing back, and you're saying, now, we're trying to preserve this country, and we don't want this to happen and that to happen. It very well might be that the things that are befalling this country, as far as all the things that many of the right-wing people are trying to prevent, you're not going to stop that, because that's the way God is bringing us.
Yes.
No person on earth is going to prevent the Antichrist from coming. No one.
No one.
Not anyone. No one on earth is going to prevent the tribulation from coming. No one.
No one.
Not anyone.
Right.
No one's going to prevent the wars and rumors of wars. No one's going to prevent people from waxing worse and worse. No one's going to prevent all those calamities and revelations and Zachary. No one. You're not going to vote in a savior, and then you're not going to vote out an antichrist.
Yeah.
They try to claim Obama with the antichrist. If he is, you're not going to vote him out.
That's right.
And he wasn't, and isn't. And now Trump's the savior. He's not. And you, do you think Americans can elect the savior?
No.
It doesn't work like that. So then, what do we need God to do? We need God to come in and deliver us.
Yes.
We need God to keep us like he's always doing. And this is what James says to them. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Comes down from the Father of lights. He says that, you know, James makes his point. He says wisdom is of God is first of all pure. He talks about how God blesses and how God brings, how God helps and what God does. When we see Jericho, I've preached the sermons myself, and many of us can, and we'll preach them rightly so. When we preach that Jericho represented evil, it stood in the way of God's plan. But it wasn't just joy for God's people and land and vineyards and planting. This is what the people need. They needed vineyards and they needed houses and they needed wealth. God didn't need any of those. What God needed was for his son to have a line to be born in. The vineyards were for the people. The vineyards and the wells and all those, God could have put those anywhere. The point was that God needed them to stay together as a people and do the will of God. God put them in a place, put them in Canaan, and God blessed them so they would have no reason to leave God.
Yeah.
He blessed them and supported them so that they would not run after other gods, because everything they needed was in God.
Yeah.
And by doing that, they would serve God's purpose, because his son would come into the earth, which has a much bigger purpose, and that being the purpose of defeating Satan and sin and death. Restoring what God had created in the very beginning. This is what's on God's mind. This is his plan. This is his will. And the people who will do this, God will bless, 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 and bless some more. So then when we want to look at how we're preaching that, what we're doing in even this day and time, we have to make up our minds. What's really on my mind is the will of, is doing the will of God, and if the will of God is done, we will be all right. Everyone will be all right. Both sides. Whenever we decide to do the will of God.
Yeah.
It is never the will of God that you try to make truth out of a lie. That's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And someone will say, well, in Israel's time, they had their Cyrus. Cyrus was not godly. No, Cyrus was not godly, but Cyrus was honorable. And Cyrus was honest. And Cyrus worked the will of the people. Darius was the type of person that when he just saw how sad Ezra was, he said to him, what's wrong? And it was at a time where it was illegal for him to even go before the king looking sad. You couldn't even show up not looking happy. And so God has used many people, but there's a way even that they come that God will use. He's also used Nebuchadnezzar to carry Israel into captivity, and to see them suffer, and to try and change them and make them his way. So we have to be very careful how we really look at the way the Bible comes and decide that in this day and time, we are this and we are that. No, what we need to do is decide we're going to be in the will of God.
Yes.
We're going to serve God. Now is the time to turn to serving God.
Yeah.
You know, do what you need to do civically, but keep your mind and your heart in God. Give God preeminence. Come back to where you're supposed to be. Now let me go back to James and finish this. He says into this, ye lust in verse 2, ye ask in verse 3 and receive not, because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it of your own lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain that the spirit dwelleth in us, the lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. What do you do with this when you start riding along with all these people who are so ungodly? It's okay to say that I like so and so because they're great administrators and they would make a great leader in this civic duty. It's another thing when you ascribe to them that they're someone that is godly.
Yeah.
It is one thing when you say the reason why we're trying to find a contractor to rebuild our building, and you're looking around for quotes and various things, and you're saying, well, I'm going to choose this contractor because this and that and the other, and I don't care what, and I'm not looking for somebody to be in God. It's another thing when you proclaim these people being godly. They are this of God and they're not this of God. I'm choosing them because they belong, because they come from God. It is a danger to choose people on, you know, when you're doing that. When you make that declaration, now you've kind of gotten off.
Yeah.
You've gone another way. Say what it is. Say we have a Cyrus. Yeah. But he's really, what was Cyrus? Cyrus was Persian. Or was he Median? He was one or the other.
Persian.
Yeah, we got Osiris, he's Persian, but he's at least on our side, and be done with it. We got an Obama. So was he saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost? Not in any way that I can see, but he's a good man.
Yes.
He needs to get himself right with God, but in the interim, he at least is kind and gentle with the people.
Yes.
So will that get into heaven? No, but it helps us along our way. And maybe somewhere along the way, maybe the word of God will come to him and he'll be saved. It's another thing. A tyrant is a tyrant. Evil is evil. So when he talks about this, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God in verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Don't just resist the devil from things that you don't like. When I was growing up, I loved music. Never cared for acid rock. If the only music the devil ever had was acid rock, I was guaranteed I was not going to like it. Didn't never like it. Just didn't care for it. Don't care for it now. It ain't me. I have never in my life liked pure jazz, like Miles Davis, Sarah Vaughan, all those people. I could never love music, but just don't care for it. John Coltrane ain't there. Mm-hmm. Takes another spirit. Thelonious Monk, these are the greats of music. And yeah, for me, I'm not saying they're not great in their music, I just don't like it. Mm-hmm. I've never had to resist listening to any of their music. Just don't like it. What am I saying? The devil's not going to come to you with something that you have to resist. It's something you don't like to begin with.
Yeah.
And then On the other hand, you've got to resist the devil telling you not to like the things that are of God.
Yes.
That's not needful. That's not needful. Resist the devil and he will flee. And resistance, and I was talking about this once before too, resistance doesn't simply mean that you always walk away. If someone grabs you by your arm, your resistance is wrestling away from them and pushing them away. If they stand to hinder you in your progress, your resistance is pushing them out of the way.
Yeah.
They say, well, how do we push the devil? In prayer.
Yeah.
You step up and you push him out of the way in prayer. You pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God moves him out of the way. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Then the next part. Draw nigh to God in this day and time. Draw nigh to God. Rahab is deciding, after seeing that God is with Israel, and don't ever think that Israel was pure during this time, because they were no more pure during this time than they were any other time. The people that are pure in them are hopefully the priesthood, because if they go before God, they're not pure, they will die. And the Levites that are left, of which some of them have already died, because among them were Korah and Dathan. Was Korah anyway, not Dathan, but Korah. Then you have so they're not going to, they're capable of doing things, because Aaron showed you that when he built the camp. And then you have all these people of a mixed multitude, and they march because they are being told to march. Whether it be in faith or not, or whatever it is, they're not necessarily rounding the city because of that. I'm not even sure they're marching. Maybe it's just the Levites. But the point being, not everybody, and I'll go back and read it in a minute, not everybody in Israel is saved and sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost and loving the Lord. Many of them are just in the number.
Yeah.
So, well, but they made it anyway. They made it into Canaan, but they didn't make it into heaven.
Yeah.
Many of them died and didn't make it in. Not all of them lived God, and not all of them had the Holy Spirit. If they had them, they wouldn't have kept going back into sin. Nevertheless, the leaders and the people who knew the plan of God could obey God. Joshua knows that he's following God because God shows up.
Yeah.
No doubt about what he wants Joshua to do. God's plan is always the same, that through Israel shall come his son. Through Israel shall come his son, and the salvation of all men and everyone who will believe on his son. This is paramount to God. This is the ultimate thing that absolute must happen. Nothing, he has to do what God will do, what he needs to, so that his son will come, because as he says to them during Ezekiel's time, he says that Israel went out and they defiled his name and polluted his name. He says, but I'm going to save you anyway so that my name will be sanctified in the earth. He says, I'm going to do it so that my will be done. He says, you're not really worthy of it, but I'm going to save you anyway. So that my will be done. I've got to keep this lineage going. I can't let all of you fall. I have to do something to stop all of you from going into sin, because I've got to have somebody who will still be in my will. My mic just went up. I've got to have somebody who does that. So then, same thing now. It's not that we're perfect in God. That's why we have the blood, and why we have his grace and his mercy. And anybody who feels themselves, well, I feel like I'm just listening. But by his grace and because of his mercy, if I would hope that none of us are still in the bars or in the clubs, that we're still drinking liquor, we're still doing, we're not in fornication. I hope we're not big time thieves and murderers and axe murderers and all those. But we still have a lot about us that if God really wanted to hold the line and say that, sin for sin's sake, there's still a lot in our soul that is sin, that is sinful. I won't say that it's sin, but sinful. We still have the attributes. And so we have to ask the Lord not only to cleanse us from our sins, but our iniquities or our evil ways, as much about us. Mm-hmm. And this we do well to remember, because and the Bible shows us this when it shows us all the people in the Bible, the Davids, the people that were with Joshua, the Moses, and shows us all of them had infirmities. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth with our infirmities.
Yes.
Helpeth with our infirmities.
Yes.
If if it was going to be an issue where we were going to be, you know, glorified at the time of salvation, we would have no infirmities.
Right.
Can we get to the point where we have fewer, less and less infirmities? Absolutely, because by the time you get to the point where you start having the power of God so that miracles are being done every time you open your mouth and this is happening and whatever, yes, the Holy Ghost has really remedied many of your infirmities.
Yeah.
You're no longer a hateful person. You're no longer somebody who can maintain wrath. You're not vengeful. You don't think evil a lot. You're not an inventor of evil things. Evil thoughts don't come to your mind. You have escaped all manner of uncleanness, not only on the outside, but on the inside, and so forth and so on. And it goes on. And the Spirit helps with those. How does He help? Two ways. One, He gives you the power to come out of them. Some things He just cleanses, and others He reminds you of. And He tells you about them and enlightens you on them so that you are able to be cleansed and washed and purified. So then James says in this in verse 8, during these times, even like when Israel is coming into Jericho, and like I said, everybody, regardless of what side you're on, everybody considers themselves on the outside, and Jericho being the city that needs to be destroyed, and they consider whichever you want to. If you're on one side, the wall is racism and injustice and all those things. If you're on this other side, then you're Israel coming in. And what you're doing is you're proclaiming the way of God. And everybody who's not with you is ungodly. They don't even have to specify. You're just not with us. You're not one of us, so you're ungodly. Then if you're Rahab, then you make up your mind and you're like James says, draw nigh unto God, He will draw nigh unto you. Yeah. Now we have to make up our mind of a truth. We have to really all be Israel. Mm. And whatever that wall is, it's something that God doesn't like, and whatever's in that city, God doesn't like. And both sides really needs to come to the point where they're really Israel. And what their concerns about is they do the will of God, and whatever is beyond that wall, God doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And both sides need to come to a point where they realize there is a wall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in that wall, some of the things we don't like, and in that wall are some of the things that you don't like, but really the will of God be done. Mm-hmm. God wants to establish a people that will serve Him of their own free will. And this is something that on this side that I sit on is different from the other side, in that I do recognize that there has to be a coming together and a unity of people of God.
Yeah.
Regardless of which side you sit on. And somehow or another, they don't seem to recognize that. They're quite content to stay divided.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they preach that. We're the people of God, and everybody else, it doesn't matter. Regardless of where you are, you still need to draw nigh to God.
Yeah.
Because to God, Jericho is Jericho.
Yeah.
And God has His reasons for wanting Jericho out the way. And so you have to make up your mind whether or not you're willing to say, what I want is what God wants.
Yes.
Without, as He says up here in verse number 3, you ask that you make a summit of your own lust. I want God to move on our side so we can keep our Confederate statues up. That won't work. I want God to be on our side so that I can be LBGT queer, whatever, QRSPQ, WXYZ. I guess they'll add new alphabets by the day. That won't work either. I want God to be, and then we add the last part about it, so I can be this, that, or the other, instead of just saying, I really want the will of God to be done.
Yeah.
And all the people who want the will of God to be done will be all right.
Right. Yeah.
Because it is the will of God that He would never leave us nor forsake us. All the people of God who want the will of God to be done will draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto them.
Yeah.
So what will that look like? What will that look like? Mr. Smith can't satisfy everybody. God is the only person in the universe who can satisfy all those who will be His. He's the only one. So what about them? Are they going to change their minds about this and that and the other? Well, you know, God doesn't have to change every person's mind about everything in order for God to work out what He wants, because He hasn't changed our minds about everything. There is much about us that remains unchanged. If I look out this morning upon with the few people I have, the ones I've known longest are Elder Rogers. I've known Elder Paulette now for about, going on close to 20 years now when I first went to Puerto Rico. But I really didn't get to know her very well until she came to the States. I've known Elder Elsie since Aviano, met him in Aviano some long time ago, long before Sister Elsie. Just met Faith since I've been here in Fort Walton Beach, and Paula, I've been known for going on 40, I've known her now for 44 years, since 1976. India, you know, just about known her all her life since she was about, you know, very, very small. I guess I met India when she was 3, 4, 5. What were you, India? 3. So many years, and so I've been known her 30 years now, close to it. Are you that old yet? No, you're not that old yet. You are. Okay, I've been known her, gotta pray you have a husband. Lord, send Chandra another one too. Everybody else who needs, send one for Vaughn. I ask God for that. They deserve a husband.
Yes,
they really do. Just got to make up their mind that when they have husbands and families, that they will do the will of God.
Yeah.
And search and seek that out. That's everybody on here. I've been knowing everybody for a long time, but in the years that I've known Ella T. Angela Rogers, much about her has changed, and yet some things have not. Mm-hmm. And in the years she's known me, much about me has changed, and probably some things have not. I would hope that all the things that needed to change, that more of those things have changed than not. I've known Paula for a very long time, and many things have changed about her, and yet some things have not. Mm-hmm. And so it goes on. So we say the same, and God has saved us, and we have the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, and if Jesus came right now, we would go.
Yes.
We would go. Still not being completely changed. So when you look at other people and their matters of superiority, their whatever they have or whatever. Now what has changed about us, what we have changed are the things that God has been able to convince us of that are just flat outright sin. And say, well, for them to be racist is sin. No, they don't see it like that. What they're saying is that they have a right to choose. They don't hate anybody. They just prefer others.
Yeah.
They'll now the extent of their preference, you would say, well, yeah, but their preference runs deep and it's this and that and the other. How deep do your preferences run?
Sure.
And what do they tear up more than you think?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in this case, there is a paramount and very much obvious. But the point being is, where God's concerned, they would be better off if there was none there. Say, but can they love God and love people like they claim and still feel the way they feel? Well, yeah, they can get away with that, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in the new earth, we don't have to worry about that. There are many of us, we have a preference among ourselves. What would we do if the shoe were on the other foot and our preferences were in power? Well, a lot about me says we're not that kind of people, but at any rate, God still receives us because we have His Son and His Spirit dwells in us. Is there a reckoning when God will straighten things out? Yes, there is. And it's coming right soon. Matter of fact, if you're not, and I'm finishing now, if you have not, let's go down to that last verse, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify ye hearts, your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. And then He goes on to speak not evil of another brother. And he does all these, says all these things. His point is clean yourself up and get yourself together. It might very well be in this big showdown, the biggest one in my life. I've been through civil strife and turmoil before, but never like now. It could be that on Wednesday morning after the 2nd of November, Jesus could come.
Yes.
Or Monday, Jesus comes before this big, before we do this thing that we consider so important. Jesus comes.
Yes.
And leaves the fight to the people who want to fight in it.
Yes.
If I had a choice of being a part of I wouldn't be in this historic decision. I'd rather make history by being out of here.
Yes.
If I had a choice in this, you know, of this big catastrophic, whatever it is. If I had a choice in this big showdown that we're coming to, Supreme Court justice, the last really liberal one dies, and now the conservatives want to stick another one of their hateful people on the Supreme Court. I call them hateful because they're not. One thing I've come to, there are a lot of honest to God, bona fide, spirit-filled, born-again believers who have some racism and bigotry.
Yes.
Black and white.
Yes. Quite a bit, yeah.
And if Jesus came, they'd go back with it. It's just one of them things. So what about them? Keeps them from having power, and God keeps them in check. That being said, there are some jobs you can't do and tell me you're born again.
Yeah.
And politics is one of them.
Yeah.
You just have to lie too much.
Yes.
There are too many things that you have to do that are contrary to God for you to convince me, Mike Huckabee, who's like a little dirty little, whatever you want to call him. There are too many things you have to do contrary to God that you can convince me that you can do that and still be in God.
Yeah.
Those kind of kings ended with Hezekiah. You know, that was a different time. There's too much dirt you have to do now, even just rubbing up against those people that lets me know that you still have some semblance of God. Because by now, many, I would love so much just to see a few of the evangelicals just stand up and say, I'm going to vote for so-and-so because I feel like he's the right man for the job, but I do not appreciate the sort of person that he is. That would mean so much to me.
Yeah, yes.
If they would just stand up and say, okay, I prefer this person to the other one because both of them have their downsides or whatever, but the truth of it is, just like I just said, but he's not perfect now.
Yeah.
That would mean so much to me if John Hagee would at least just stand up because in the past I've admired him for the way he preached salvation.
Yeah.
It means so much to me if he would just stand up and say, okay, I'm going to vote for this person because I don't like all these other issues and whatever, and he's my preferred choice. But I have to be honest and tell you, too, the man is not saved.
No.
That would mean so much. At least Pat Robinson, it was just a glimmer of light when Pat Robinson just said about Trump and that Bible when he said, Mr. President, that's not cool. At least that's something.
Okay, yeah.
But for them to stick their head in the sand and try to claim that we're marching on with him and he's on his white horse,
man,
have a problem with that. Draw nigh unto God.
Yes.
Draw nigh unto God. I never once proclaimed that Obama was saved or born again. Matter of fact, I felt like in his last few days, this thing of wanting transsexuals to be able to go to any bathroom they wanted to go to, I thought if there was ever anything that was demonically inspired, and I personally felt like if I ever thought that he should have a third term, I changed my mind. It was time for him to go.
Yeah.
As much as I admired him and as much as he had done, with that proclamation, I felt like, okay, you are, as they said in the Bible, beside yourself now, and it's time for you to go.
Yeah.
That's too far. Can't go with you on that one. And I'm waiting to see when the people who have the Holy Ghost are going to say about this president, you have gone too far. Enough is enough. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands. I need to cleanse my own hands.
Yes.
Ye sinners. All of us who are doing things, talking about, and James is referring to them as sinners not because they're not born. He's making the point of going back up to the front, talking about why they can't win and why they can't get God to move.
Yeah.
He's saying, straighten out your own life and purify your heart, ye double-minded. Make up your mind about the will of God. Make up your mind about God. Make up your mind about God. I didn't ask you to make up your mind about this election or anything else. Make up your mind about God. About obeying God. Is that too much to ask? I need to make up my mind about God.
Yes.
obeying God, doing the will of God. I need to make up my mind about that and stop playing games with it. Not do this, not do that. No, I need to purify my heart and make up my mind about doing the will of God, no matter what. And then he goes on, and from what he's saying about weeping, howling, all that, then obviously, what is he pointing to, everybody? Everybody knows. What's he pointing to? Two words that you hate to do.
Praying
and fasting. He's saying, get out of your everyday routine, weep and howl, pray and fast.
Yes, yes.
Weep and howl in prayer, pray and fast. Turn your desk and stop going on as business as usual and bring yourself before God.
Yeah.
Cleanse yourself. Submit yourself to the hand of God. Submit yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall humble yourselves in the sight of God. Another one says, submit yourself to the hand of God, and he'll raise you up in due time. This one says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. This is what he's pointing to. Instead of all this warring and politicizing and stuffing and doing all the things that we do, including myself, he's saying what we need to really do is humble ourselves and submit ourselves to God. We need to do that, don't we?
Yes.
Not only for this time, we need to do that, period. For India's husband, we need to do it. For Chandra's new husband. Vaughn's husband. All these people who need their lives completed. Need their lives completed in God.
Amen.
Need their lives completed. That's a nice way of putting it, isn't it, India? Just need your life completed. Added to. Picked up. Just, you know, in God. It would just make you happy. Don't have to have a husband to validate you. Don't need that. Don't need one to support you. Don't need that. Don't need one to do any of those things. Just need one to make you happy.
Yeah.
And that says I need a godly one because he's a man won't make me happy. Just being a man will not make me happy. I need one that's capable of bringing happiness and godliness and all those things. So we need the Boazes. Oh, I forgot Tangela's sitting up there. We need the Boazes and Paulette single too. We need the Boazes and all those. Paul, I'm sorry you're married. Sister Elsie, problem. Faith, not talking about you. Y'all got husbands. Need God to step in because. If you haven't had one like India, you need a good one. If you've had one before, you need a good one. You need one, and God, as I told you before, with Abraham and with Joseph and all those, God knows who's good.
Yes.
God knows who's good, and he knows who's right for you, as he made Eve someone who's right for Adam. He knows who's right for you. I said God. I didn't say people.
Yeah.
So don't let anybody pair you up.
Yeah.
God does things. If you ever want to see something that's organic or natural, it's how God does things.
Yes.
So for many of us, there's so many things we can get trapped into the here and now and what's going on. We forget there's so many other things we need from God. Ella Smith really needs God to, heal her and deliver her and fix her in this situation. So this cancer doesn't ever show up again, and she don't have to go through this chemo and all this stuff ever again. Not in this life. And I don't even have to say in the life to come, because in the life to come there is no sickness and death. So we don't worry about that one. But in this life, ever again. Ella Tangela needs the Lord to pick her up and I feel like the spirit needs to go through her body like an electrical charge and just, just start at the crown of her head and go to the soles of her feet and just touch everything in her and fix the eyes and the little tumors and just quicken everything in Tangela's body. Just quicken her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Just do her like God did Naaman when he went down that water and he came up and everything was just perfect. Or the man that they healed by the gate, beautiful, that had perfect soundness. This is what God, what I want to see God do. Move for Sister Paulette, move for India, for Alyssa, for all these people who have things going on. And I met a man yesterday, his name was Kenneth. What was his last name? I can't think of it. I wrote it down. But I told him, he said, he called me back. I was walking off from him. He was fixing the fence next door. And he said, Pastor, and I thought he was calling my next door neighbor because that's whose fence he's fixing, and he's a pastor too. But the Spirit said, walk back and see if he's talking to you. So I walked back and I said, are you talking to me? He said, yes. He said, pray for me. He says, remember me in prayer. I said, all right, what's your name? He said, Kenneth. And I said, okay, I'm going to remember Kenneth. So I wrote it down and I put it in my bag. I said, I'm going to put his name on the board, which I did. And I don't know what Kenneth needs, but the Spirit has said to me that I need to prepare myself. We need to prepare ourselves. You need to prepare yourself. Elder Rogers, Elder Paulette, we need to prepare ourselves because God is going to start sending people who need us. We keep saying we keep going out. But when we look in the Word of God, people came to find Jesus, and people came to find Peter when Tabitha died, and people came to find them when they needed them, and people are going to come. Yes. If you're pure and you're ready, if God can send people to you, God will send people to you.
Yes.
And when they come, then you got to be like it says here in James. You got to be completely through with all of your own all of your desires that are not in the will of God. We went round and round the other day. They were having this discussion. I was listening to other people talk about what it meant about when Peter wanted Jesus not to go to the cross. Peter, and it really comes down to is Peter, when Jesus says, "Thou savest the things of the world of the earth more than God." Peter wanted a lot of things done that were not in the will of God. It wasn't wrong with him to want them done, but they were taking preeminence over God's will. He wanted those things to have precedence or precede God's will. And if we really want God to really move in our lives, we have to stop having things in our... It's not you can't have desires and other things, but the will of God has to have preeminence. And so James is telling them, he says, when you're praying, you're calling on God. You got to want the will of God out of all this. You want a husband. You got to want some. You want somebody that God's will is going to work in. You'd like to have a marriage that God's will is going to work in. Not God's will according to how people think marriages should be. I pray for all marriages. Y'all got to do something for these marriages. No, my marriage is me and Paula. Your marriage will be you and whoever. You need the will of God working in your marriage, not the will of me and Paula. What works for us might not work for you. But the will of God, that portion of our marriage, works for everybody. What's in the will of God is what's perfect in our marriage. And what's not in the will of God is where our rough spots are. The part about us that's not yielded to God is where all of our rough spots are. The portions of us that are wilted to God, and we are the marriage. We don't just have a marriage. We are the marriage. And the parts of us that's been great and good and worked out, all of those things are the things that came from God. And the parts that have been difficult and rough and destructive and hurtful and all those things, none of those things came from God. Those are the things that are earthly and sensuous and devilish and all those things. So you want God to be, and so when people are trying to give you marriage advice, a lot of their wisdom comes from the earth, and although it doesn't seem like it, they got a way about them. You want it to be the will of God. You want the will of God to be your marriage to be in the will of God. You want the man that you're married to, the woman you're married to. You want someone whose desire is God's will above all else. And then you'll have a full and complete one. And it won't be, he's praying 24 hours a day, and when he's not praying, he's fast. That's not the will of God. God requires very little of your time. And at the same time, he requires all of your time. But it doesn't distract you from doing what you need to do in life. So I'm finishing now. I've been finishing for the last half an hour. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Let's pray. If I missed anybody this morning, we have a board full of sick people. Looking for Elder Montgomery to be raised up today. Elder Chisholm, Elder Kim Chisholm. And I'm trying to remember, did I answer his email or not? And I don't think I did, and I need to. He's doing well. He's progressing. He has prostate cancer.
Yes.
And he's doing radiation. He's doing well. They look good. Got an email from him. And the brother, sister, Brother Loazo checked on us during the storm. And I remember him, too. And, excuse me, Sister Loazo. Don't see the Gamble family up today. I don't know where they are. But I pray that wherever they are, Shandra's probably working. And however they are, that they'll be all right in God. And Lord will work things out so that they can be back, so the kids can be back in the house of God when they need to be. And just work things out, and things will be okay. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for watching over us and keeping us. And Lord, we worship and glorify your name. Lord, we give you honor, we give you praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask you to heal the sick today. Remember Elder Smith, Elder T'Angelo, Elder Paulette, Lord. Remember Brother Kenneth, who asked me to pray for him, oh God. Lord, you know what he needs. And Lord, he asked in such a manner, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd move for him in whatever he needs, oh God, and draw him to the foot of the cross. And Lord, many others, Lord, remember Robert Marshall today. Lord, draw him to the foot of the cross. Lord, he comes to my mind. And Lord, whatever yokes do hinder him and whatever wall does protect him and stand between him and you, Lord, I pray, Lord, would fall down. That you would tear down, oh God. That
yes.
Not just fall down, but Lord, that you would tear down. And Lord, remember Evangelist Watson today and Sister Hicks, oh God, and the Griffin family, oh Lord. Lord, remember Edward today, oh Lord, and touch him and give him a miracle, or even the more, Lord, and make changes. And Lord, for all these people, Lord, draw them to the foot of the cross. But Lord, you said in James, if we draw nigh unto you, you would draw nigh unto us. Lord, that we should humble ourselves, and Lord, you would lift us up. Lord, give us that mind today to humble ourselves. Lord, you would lift us up. Lord, let us be like, if we're like no one else today, Lord, let us be like Rahab, who can see that God is God.
Yes.
And whatever is needful to be in God, that is what we're willing to do. And if it takes for us to be taken from behind our wall in order to be with God, we are willing to step from behind the wall to be with God, because yes, the will of God be done. Lord, give us a mind today, Lord, to go forth in God, to yield ourselves to God. Lord, above all else, to yield ourselves to God, to yield our plans to God, our hearts to God, our minds to God, and all that we are, that the Lord may exalt us in due time, lift us up in due time, oh God. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for all of you today. And I don't